it's good to be in the Lord's house this morning, and we're so glad that you're here. Sort of a rainy morning, but yet you've chosen to come to the Lord's house, and we're so glad you're here to worship the Lord together. We're glad to have those who are visiting with us. We pray that you'll just get a blessing. Had a good time at breakfast, Baptist Men's Day, and look forward to Brother Barrett coming and sharing after a while. Those that might be out in the parking lot listening, we're glad to have you. Those that are listening later on the website, glad that you're listening and being a part of the service today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we bow before you this morning, thank you for all of those who are assembled, whether they're here in the sanctuary, whether they're in the parking lot, whether they're listening on the website. But Father, we thank you for each person that's gathered to worship Jesus Christ today. Father, for each person that has a part of the service, I pray that the Holy Spirit will give guidance, leadership, that we'll hear from you. Father, we know that we have certain people that have needs, and we just lift them up. Father, especially we pray for the situation in the Ukraine. Father, we know that folks are hurting, especially Christians, but that all are hurting. And Father, I pray right now we dispatch angels of confusion to go and confuse those that have attacked a nation that was not looking for war. Father, in times past, you used your angels to confuse and confound the enemy. And so, Father, I pray that you'll do that even today. Father, there are other situations in our world that need a divine move of God. And we pray for that. And Father, may we as believers be salt and light in a world that's dying and dark and hurting. May they see Jesus in us. In his name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning. I know y'all are surprised to see a woman standing up here on Men's Day, but you know, desperate times call for desperate measures, so that's what we're going to do. But this is the day that the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice, and we're going to be glad in it. So why are we here today? To worship. Okay, so we're going to do a worship hymn right now, and that is the name of the song, Here I Am to Worship. The words will be on the screen, and y'all stand with me while we sing.
Good morning. Yeah, it takes two to do what Leonard does on Sundays. It's part two right here. Good to see everyone. Continuing on with our service this morning, I'd like to go over our announcements. As we know, this is Baptist Men's Day, a belated Baptist Men's Day, but it doesn't matter when you have it. It's the fact that you have it. It ought to be Baptist Men and Women's Day every Sunday. Today we have a special guest speaking that will be introduced later on by Gary Hamilton. Barrett Eatman has come to speak with us today. And I thank you, Barrett, for making that available for us today. This coming Monday, tomorrow at 7 p.m., Buildings and Ground will be meeting. And if you're on that committee, make sure you're there. Wednesday night, regular 6:30 p.m., Bible study is going on. And then looking down, we continue to gather funds for the Pregnancy Resource Center through the month of February and into March. We're up to 620. I don't know what our goal is, but it should be higher. We can do more. And there's much need there. Are there any additional announcements that should be covered at this time? Yes. It ends today?
And then, is that right, Brenda?
Yes.
Okay, it says February and March, so that's wrong.
You know they're going to take it whenever we give it.
But yeah, exactly. Rita says they'll take it whenever we give it.
Okay.
But we should
take it any time.
Yeah, and we should have a set time that we strive for. But try to get that in today. If not, we'll take it when you can give it. Any other announcements? We thank the efforts this morning for the pancakes, the sausage, the biscuits, the jellies, the juices and the coffee, and the men that were there. We got to hear Gary get up and speak this morning and share his testimony, and that was good to hear. I thank you, Jeff, for the efforts many of you put together making that possible. I enjoyed it. Anything else on announcements? Not, we'll look at the birthdays. One's already been mentioned today, Miss Betty. I know how old you are, Betty, and I won't tell anyone.
I bet she'd be proud.
But she'd be proud. You know what age is, Betty? Do you know what age is, anyone?
It's just
a gift.
It's just
It's a privilege that many aren't granted.
It is.
And you think about that. We're here by the grace of God. Coming up in March 7th, I see William. Hi, it's hard to believe. How quickly I remember the day he was born. I know. And now he's taller than I. But it's amazing. And we discussed the anniversaries last Sunday on Valentine's. We had two, Wesley, Angie, Jeff, and Charlene. Any other birthdays or anniversaries that we overlooked? Okay. All right, if not, we'll look at the prayer request. And as shown there on the back of our bulletin today, there are many. There were many that were brought up last week. Any reports, additions, praise reports? Wednesday? Okay. All right. As also mentioned, and we can't help to escape what we see on the news every day, what's going on in Ukraine. And it's sad, but true. And I think it was forecast that we would be in times like this. And I feel blessed that we are in a country and a place right now where we can worship freely and have our freedom. Freedom's never won, something you have to continually fight for. We also see that there's, we need to remember the families of Laurel Wood, Stephanie Woods, Clyde Whitley, Wayne Cowles, anyone else. Okay. No other reports?
I don't want to know about Tim's
Anyone give us an update on Tim Smith?
He's still having difficulty.
Okay. All right, anyone else? Okay, if not, we'll take time now and pray. If you would pray with me, and I'll lead us in a time of prayer. Father, we come to you now. We're blessed, Father, and we want to come, first of all, and be grateful and thankful. Father, we thank you for this time that you've given us to be in your house on your day. And Father, we just want to pray for each one that is here and those that can't be here. Father, we pray for them, lift them up to you. Father, we just thank you that you gave us the strength and the help to be here today. Help us, Father, not to take life for granted and how quickly life comes and goes, Lord. Father, we want to remember those that have been mentioned. We continue to remember Tim. Be with Tim, Father. Heal him, Father. Be with him and the caregivers. We pray for the upcoming surgeries for Stacy and also for Kenny, Father. We pray for healing, Father, at this point for both of them. Also pray for these families, Lord, that have lost loved ones that we know of, and I'm sure there's many more, Father. And for the citizens of Ukraine, Father, lift them up to you as they are sheltering and hiding to protect life itself, Father. For those who are fleeing, dear Lord, be with them in the journey. Be with those, dear Lord, that are giving their time, their physical energy, their monies, and their prayers, Father, lifting them up to you right now. We continue to pray for the world in which we live. We're grateful, Father, we live in a country that we can worship you freely. We pray for each one, Father, that is doing that at this time. I lift up this family of believers known as Barber's Grove. I pray for this moment we find ourselves in right now, Father, that we would come and do just as we sung, to worship, Father, to give you the glory and the praise. We want to continue to do that, Lord, as we sing, as we pray, as now as Barrett is preparing to come to speak, Father. Fill him with your words, that it may fill our hearts, and it may move us, Father, in a way that would please you and those people that would be seeing and watching. Those of us that have heard this message today, Father, would say they see what we heard, Father. Thank you, Father, for your love and for your grace and for your mercies. Thank you for your Son, Jesus, for his name that we ask. Amen.
We'll continue now with our hymn of praise, and it's going to be Shout to the Lord. And once again, the words will be on the board, and let's think like we mean it. So everybody stand with me and let's sing.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to pray. My comfort, my shelter.
far back, you'll fall down, won't you? Trip backwards. Folks, it's a privilege to stand up here this morning. Jeff had asked me if I would introduce our speaker today, and I told him I'd be delighted to do that. His sister and brother here also, Tim and Melanie and Melly. Again, I apologize for not recognizing you. It's been, we figure, 25 years or so since I saw her, so she, you know, we've changed a little, both of us. So we're glad to have you well there. And Tim, if any of you this morning heard me talking about when I was in my early 20s and all, and I wasn't such a good boy, if you talk to Tim, anything he tells you is not true. It ain't true, trust me. So, but Barrett and I and the whole family there, we kind of grew up together. I tried to get my brother here today, and he was planning on coming. My baby brother Jeff and Barrett were about the same age, and they were running buddies when they were kids. And he was in my house a whole lot, and my brother was his house a whole lot, because he's kind of like a half-brother to me, I guess, coming up. But Jeff called me yesterday. He said he tested negative, positive. He had all the symptoms, and everybody at work had it. I said, I just assume you stayed on the other side of the river then today. Be fine with me. But Barrett and I grew up together, and we lost touch a little bit in our somewhere along the line. And but I always said Barrett was one of the best people I knew, even when he was a kid. He was. He helped us do stuff. He helped my mama. He was just, you know, just a great guy. You can clarify this when you get up here. And I'm not sure whether he was saved in the 90s or he just got really active in church in the 90s. But he was led back into church, I think, by a woman kind of like I was. And I think I'm correct on that, or am I not? His wife. And, I always say, if you see somebody who gets saved, you're supposed to see a difference in them. And there's a difference in him. He's always passionate person. And it was about hunting and his wife and daughter. I'm not sure that's the right order, but that was kind of his passion. Then he found something else he's real passionate about, and that was Jesus. And I'm telling you now, that one's on top. So, but I asked him to come up here and speak and just bring what's on your heart, and we appreciate you coming.
I'm not a public speaker. Disclaimer number one. I do have my notes, and I was disappointed a while ago. I'm sorry, being at church, and first thing I stepped up to you, disappointed. But I handed out the bulletin this morning. I looked at it, and it said Sunday school 9 o'clock, worship service buried at 10, children's at 10:15. I thought I was supposed to be done at 10:15, and I realized I hadn't even got started yet, so... Well, so I mentioned that I move around some, and I said I was going to give me a mic because I was scared y'all got, you know, Baptist Church are known for having a trap door, so when it's quitting time, we disappear. So I'm looking around, but I want to bear to move and get out of the way in case I get talking too much. I will tell you, I've got my notes. My mother-in-law used to tell me, she said, Barrett, you got to slow down. I can't think and hear as fast as you're talking. So I will try to talk in a slower form so y'all can keep up with it, and it may stretch things out. So if we go too far, the Methodist may beat y'all to lunch today. I'm sorry. Gary, I appreciate what you said there. I thank you and Jeff for allowing me, the pastor, for allowing me to stand up here today and speak and tell you my testimony, what God's done in my life, a little bit of my history of my life, where I've been and where I'm at today. You know, Gary and Jeff contacted me and asked if I'd be here in February, and things didn't work out. And as you'll hear more, I'm okay with that. God had a plan. Somebody's here today, somebody's not here, something's happening somewhere. God wanted me to be here today on this nice, beautiful, rainy day for a reason. That's the reason I'm here today, and I'm not going to question that. Another thing actually brought back my attention, a little story I wanted to. And the pastor's probably going to not let me speak much more after I say this, but it's biblical if I get to talking and y'all go to sleep in here. No. Acts 20, verse 9 said the guy fell asleep in the church, but he also fell three stories out the window after it happened. So so just beware, you know, if I get to speaking and you go to sleep, you know, there are consequences on that. So, that is in Acts if you want to look that up. I am one of three children. I was raised just across Rocky River in Edge, Anson County. At a young age, probably about the time of elementary school, I remember my family started, it was time to go to church, and we started going to church. We went over to Rocky Mount Church, which right there where Gary's family was raised at. During the time there, I remember going to Bible school, remember being in RAs. I don't know if they still do. Do y'all still do RAs here? Anybody? Okay, but remember being in the RAs. Remember parents staying in the choir. Remember my mother teaching Sunday school class. And Youth Sunday, just like the men's Sunday. I don't know if they still do that in the Baptist church. Used to have Youth Sunday. I always got to teach what we called the men's class. They always told me, said, you go in there, you got your blessing, you read your lesson. If you get done, you just start talking farming because there's nothing but a bunch of farmers in there. You talk about the weather and farming, and you can keep them guys happy all day long. So as a little 12 or 13-year-old here, thought I was teaching something. I'd read through the lesson right quick, and then we could, well, what do y'all think about the weather? Is the corn going to grow good? And I could get through that class. But I remember that being Youth Sundays. So at the time, the church did some remodeling. I remember some of the family members being baptized down at the Low Water Bridge in Rocky River. Remember some being baptized in the baptistry at the church when it was built. And I remember going, being at the church and doing different things there. As time went on, unfortunately, like a lot, and looking at your congregation here, time you start getting high school, getting in your late teens, I got out of church. The whole family got out. I got out of church. Like Gary said, I consider myself a good person. I was raised, yes ma'am, yes sir, no ma'am, no sir. Don't interrupt the adults when they're talking. I thought I was being right. I knew right from wrong. So I was, thought I was living a really good life. I was being I was a good person. In retro to that, you know, I was basically going to be the teacher's pet in hell. That's basically where I was headed. I was going to be a good person in hell. But I hadn't realized that. Like I said, got into my 20s, my run-ins with the law. Let me tell you about that. I know we got our siblings back here, and they're thinking, oh, my, what's he getting ready to tell us now? My early 20s, I got a speeding ticket. A little bit later, I got a failure to stop ticket. That's my run-in with the law. I don't have a history that tells you I was a law-breaking individual. I wasn't. But now, when you talk about drugs and alcohol, nothing to deal there either. Wasn't involved in any of that. Now again, I'm a good person. In my mind, I'm still a really good person. There was none of this to worry about. Loved to hunt and fish. Loved it then. Love it today. You know, I wanted to hunt all day Saturday, fish all day Saturday, fish all day Sunday, spend all night Saturday night fishing, spend all day Sunday morning if I had to, sleeping. Church wasn't on my mind. You know, I know there was at that time, I knew there was a God. We all handle money that says, in God we trust. Also know if we study the Bible, Satan knows there's a God, but I don't think we're going to spend eternity with Satan. I hope we don't spend eternity with Satan. That's my objective today. 1986, I had been dating a young lady from Stanley County, got married, moved out of Anson, moved up to Stanley. My wife, Jeanette, she was going to be here today, but church we attend, North Albemarle, she's a greeter, so she felt obligated to be up there greeting people as they come in today. And my daughter, born in 1992, Jana, she's moved out of the home, so things was really, at the time she was born in 92, things were starting to get a little bit different in life. And a little bit later, my wife, we had these discussions, you know, we need to go to church. Been there, done that. Bunch of hypocrites in them churches, you know. Them people say something, and then I see them out there, and they are sinning. That ain't for me. But if you want to go, you can go. I'm okay with that. So she started visiting the church where we're at now. And remember the pastor coming to my house one day, wanted to talk to me. And that's Gary. I'm going to keep referring to Gary somebody because he opened up the can, so I'm going to keep it open here for a little bit. Nice guy. But I was also could be kind of rude sometimes. And I remember the pastor coming up and talking and come over to the house and visiting, and I was quite short and blunt with him. it's time for me to get saved, I can get saved sitting in a deer stand. I don't have to be sitting in your church to get saved. I mean, I was just right blunt with them. And I can remember telling the pastor that. My wife and daughter continue to go to church. And so much I hope this church is the same way. It was a loving church. They loved her. They loved my daughter. So eventually, because this old hard-headed guy got hit in the head a few times, I reckon, by God, I decided to I'd go visit a little bit. So I started going to church there in the north. And they had a quartet called the Northmen, four guys from North Albemarle that sang a quartet. And they traveled around a little bit and did some singing. Now, I opened my mouth. Y'all had the words up here, but it probably wouldn't have sound coming out because I wouldn't want to embarrass me or y'all because I cannot sing. I played in the band a little bit one time in high school. Band director, thankfully, he was an honest man. He eventually came to me and said, "Barrett, I'm going to tell you, you're outstanding in the field of music, but you're standing way out in that field by yourself over there." He said, "You just can't play." And he was honest. I am not musically inclined. I can't sing, can't play music. So these Northmen got to singing, and it meant a lot to me. I could understand the message that was coming up. They did a lot of Southern gospel. So they, at the time, were doing different places they go. So I listened to them. God used that as a way to start touching my heart and getting me to seeing what life was really about. Then, I don't know the exact date, a fellow I had acquaintance with and was going to church with a little bit, got a call one morning. He had passed away at the age of 38 playing basketball at the Y. Went and sat down and basically was dead before he ever got on the chair. It got more real to me because I knew this individual. And it scared me. I ain't going to be honest, it scared me some. I don't know how y'all's pews, if y'all's building committee's inspected the pews in here or not, but I know at North Albemarle, some of the pews that were in the old church got some pretty tough spots on them because I go in there on Sundays and I get that pew pretty hard after some sermons sometimes. And I'm sure I left some fingerprints and some scratch marks on there because God was trying to move me, but I wouldn't let go. I just wouldn't let go. And there was one vivid morning, Sunday morning, I can remember walking out because even to this day, for different reasons, my wife and I usually drive separately to church. She'd go to Sunday school. I'd go to preaching. So we left at different times. And I can remember walking out by myself that morning, going out and walking out. When I said at the time, North Albemarle's over where the hospital's at, the parking lot area is now. And walking out and looking at me going, "Lord, you got to help me. I need your help." So shortly thereafter, I kept going a little bit more. Jeff, there's a verse I want you to put up, if you would, for me. This is a verse right here that started hitting on me a little bit. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in certain circumstances. I'm sorry. In all circumstances, give thanks. So I didn't really understand that verse much. But then, and I look at the crowd in here, and try not to be judgmental, but looking at the age, and there's several of y'all remember September the 11th, 2001. Some of you do not. Some of you do. And there have been songs written, "Do you remember? Do you remember where you were at? Do you remember what you were doing?" And I'm sure if we could go around and everybody tell me certain things that happened then. Well, I'm going to back up just a little week before that to September the 2nd of 2001. The Lord finally took me out of one of them pews and he pushed me down and talked to the pastor on a Sunday morning. And that's when I truly gave my heart to Christ and got saved. It was on September the 2nd, 2001. The very next Sunday on September the 9th, I was baptized. On Tuesday morning, September the 11th, I can remember exactly where I was sitting at in Monroe at work, and the news of what was taking place started coming across the radio, and we come out to the office. And again, most of y'all probably remember what you were doing and how your feelings were. All I can tell y'all is I had the most peace of mind I've ever had in my life. There was no concern for the plane coming to Union County or Albemarle where I was at. Was the plane going to crash where I was at? I'm fine. I've got my eternity seat right now. I know where I'm at. My biggest concern and my biggest thoughts at that time were those in the tower that did not know Jesus when it went down. Those people that were rescuing that did not know. My heart went out to them. For me, if one of the planes came to me, I wasn't ready to go. But yes, I was ready. I could handle that. So since that time, God's done things in my life that's changed a lot. Speaking of Lionel, he and I had a class back so many years ago that we were in class together. And shortly after that class, part of the series I was in was public speaking. And I had to do a class, and we had to stand in front of class and speak. Terrified me to pieces. Since September 2001, get up and speak. The old saying goes, sick them to a bulldog. I can't wait to get up and start talking. I love talking to them, especially if I can talk about Jesus. I don't mind getting up in front of people. Got to keep referring to my notes a few times because there's a few things I'm skipping. And I've determined, even on this also, I had things in my mind that I wanted to put on here that I wrote down, things that I didn't, things I've written down, things I've thought about since then. What y'all hear is what God wants you to hear. If I say it, and if I don't say it, I'm not going to worry about it. And it also gets back to when I was growing up, there was a little thing, I don't know if the kids still do it or not, but they put you in a circle, and they'd whisper something in one kid's ear, and they'd repeat it to the person beside them, and they'd go around the room and come back, and it was never what originally was said. I have thoughts. I've written things down. I'm going to speak things. Y'all going to hear things, and hopefully you may act off some of them, and it's not what I started with. So it's kind of like that same little thing. It's going to go around. What I have planned to say is maybe not what God wants y'all to hear. So you're going to hear what he wants you to say. Hear what he wants y'all to hear. So after September, I'm really enjoying life. Things have changed. The Northmen, they're still singing. I'm enjoying it. And I'm starting to rely on God for more things now in life. Where when things come up, what am I going to do? One of the most vivid ones is getting ready to go to work. Those of you who have children know what it's like to have a sick child. A child, she wasn't feeling well that morning. And sat down beside the bed and talked with her a little bit. And she's going, just not feeling good, not feeling good. And I go, sweetheart, you know who the great physician is. You know who the best healer in the world is. That's our God. But the Northman did a song talking about the great physician. Well, I leave and I stick that CD in my truck. I got to listen to that song. And it won't play. And I'm messing with it. And finally, I get it in there, and it starts playing. It plays that song for me. Oh, right. I got want to fidgety with the CD again. It won't play no more. It only played that one song that day. That's the only song it would play, The Great Physician. God knew that's what I needed to hear. Used to, I was Sunday morning. It's like, man, where am I going fishing at today? Where can I go hunting at tomorrow? Got to rest up. Sunday mornings now, God's put it on me. I can't wait to get to church. My wife and I still drive separately because I go in early to spend time in prayer with some of the deacons and the pastor before we do Sunday school. Then she comes in at Sunday school. Then we're both for Sunday school and worship. And then who knows, after church, we got different things we're doing. So, yes, we drove separately before. Now we drive separately after for different reasons. But it's because I want to get to church. I want to get in there. I want to spend time in prayer. I want to worship and worship my God. In the time I got saved, some of y'all start adding up some math and all, I was 38. And that was realizing that at that time of life, you don't see a lot of people get saved at that age. A lot of them get saved younger, or they get saved at a real later time of life. So I grew a great passion for men. So I tried to help the men at church by volunteering to be somewhat like Jeff and him are doing now, the Brotherhood. So my passion for a while was with the men at church, and I felt a calling to do that. I still have that passion, but things have changed. So I will say that and saying that I've got different passions. I went through one time. It's riding a motorcycle. Still got a motorcycle parked in the garage now. I don't know how many ride motorcycles. And you know how when you see motorcyclists, specifically maybe not on the motorcycles, a lot of them have leather clothing on. They may have the do-rags over the head, cover up the shine or keep the hair neat or whatever they want to. And you look at them, and you can look at the motorcycle and go, man, that's a rough crowd. I kind of want to tiptoe around and leave them alone over there, you know. Well, there was a group I was riding. It was four or five couples we'd ridden, spending some time up in the mountains, up in Tennessee, Cherokee, North Carolina, and up towards Maggie Valley and all. It was a day a lot like today. It had been raining. So we had rain gear. You know, most of everything's black leathers and black rain suits and do-rags on our head and all. Going to go out and eat one night. We pull up in a restaurant. Well, it's full, so we sit around outside, and we're getting wet, got our helmets and all. So finally, they call our number, so we go in. And you can imagine us walking through a restaurant with all of our helmets and our leather jackets and everything, and we gather up this table here they've got for all of us, and we gather around this table. And as we get up to this table and start to sit down, there's this table up here beside us. And you can kind of see everybody going. You know, they start getting closer to each other, you know, pulling all their belongings up closer to them and all. And several of us noticed it. So we sit down there, and we cut up and had fun. Good Christian group guys and ladies I was with. And we eventually got our food, said a blessing, and participated in the meal. But a group behind us got up to leave. And I never forget, one of the guys walked right over and he leaned up between me and the guy beside me. He was probably rough looking at the time as I was. And he leaned down like that, he went, be honest with y'all guys. When y'all came in, I was concerned. He said, but when I heard you say the blessing, I knew we was on the same team. So, don't ever judge that book by its cover. That's what had happened that day. They looked at us and thought, that's a really rough group. But when he heard us sit down and do a blessing for our meal, it meant enough to him that he realized that I don't need to be worried about them folks. Enjoying my motorcycle, doing things. At the time, I'd actually moving on up into the 2000s. Had a situation in 2010, May the 13th. This verse really hit home to me. In case I hadn't said it, I like to hunt fish. I was preparing to go pig hunting one afternoon, shoot some wild pigs. Had a pistol with me that was going to be a backup that I was fidgeting with, and it went off while I was sitting in my truck. Lodged a bullet in my left knee. And scared the guy that was getting in the truck about as bad as it scared me at the time. But you can imagine, I literally just shot myself with a handgun. Called my wife. Yeah, had an accident. Where you at? I'm over at so-and-so's house. What kind of accident did you have? Shot myself. What? Yeah, you going to the hospital? You could call an ambulance? He'll take me to the hospital. You know, no major deal. Just a hold of my leg. Just for those who have guns, it happened to be a .357 that I was holding in my hand when it went off. Get to the doctor's office or hospital. Same thing. Wife beats me there. Get in a wheelchair, roll her in there. They go into the ER. Nobody's in the ER. Sitting there talking, just like I am now. Believe it or not, there was no pain. Nurse there says, so I reckon you need to see somebody in the ER. I said, yes. She said, well, you need to talk to this lady for check-in. So I turn my wheelchair around. She said, okay, hon. She said, what you need to hear for the ER for? I shot myself. Place come alive. It come alive real quick. They slapped me in a bed, wouldn't let me move. They x-rayed me from head to toe, tossed me around, looked at me. sent me down for a scan. They wanted to run me through that little tube where they slide you in there and slide you back out. They want to make sure everything's going on me was right. They want to see if there's any blood getting out anywhere. So I got away from all the atmosphere that's going on. I'm laying in there horizontal. Nice, soft music, dim lights, peaceful and quiet in there. They start sliding me in there, and just me and God there. And I looked up and said, Lord, I do not understand. But thank you for letting me shoot myself. Because your word says, give thanks in all circumstances. Not the ones that make me feel good, not the ones I'm happy about, but it said give thanks in all circumstances. I said, I can't explain this, but you've allowed me to shoot myself. And your word says give thanks, so I'm going to thank you for it. So I gave him thanks for allowing me to shoot myself. The stories I've had since then, the people I've met, and the icebreakers I've got, it's endless. It has given me some great stories on that. 6 weeks after it happened, one of my great passions is playing volleyball, or used to be. 6 weeks to the day after it happened, I was outside playing volleyball on that leg. The doctor told me when he come in, he said, well, we're going to operate, we're going to fix you up. I said, well, doc, what's worst case scenario? Worst case scenario, we're going to open you up, we're going to clean out stuff, we'll clean out what we can, we'll sew you up, and we'll come back and we'll operate two or three more times till we can get your knee right. Put a new one in or whatever it takes. I said, okay. Doc, what's best case scenario? I'm going to make a little incision, I'm going to pluck that bullet out, and you're going home for lunch. Doc, guess which one I'm praying for? Didn't go home for lunch, but I was home about 2 o'clock and carried my bullet home with me. So he plucked it out. Knee bothered me a little bit periodically, but it's just kind of like Paul, still that spur under my side. I've still got a spur there sometimes. It reminds me. As I said, I got to coach in volleyball. It gave me an opportunity to give back to kids. I was coaching travel volleyball, and it gave me a chance to be an example. And that's one of the things that, and then later I got involved with Hands of a Sportsman, which is an organization geared towards getting kids or disabled adults outside. And my prayer is always that when I'm out coaching or when I'm out with a child or a disabled individual, that they see Jesus in me. I don't want to be like Barrett, but I want to be like the Jesus they see in me. Be like that Jesus. And I want to be able to look at me and say, I saw Jesus in that guy. I see Jesus in what he's doing. That's what I want him to do. During that process, leading up to Hands of Sportsmen and doing that, one of the things that God actually led me through to was I was raised in a family that was fortunately were healthy. The people, the community I lived in were healthy as far as no disabilities or anything. I had a situation where I was a guide for a young lady out of South Carolina who was paralyzed right before her 18th birthday. She's in a wheelchair. She's in her 30s now. Her mother and her father brought her up, and we was doing a special thing going on. And I'm scared of her. I don't know how to be around somebody in a wheelchair or disabled because I've never been around anybody like that. I wanted to help, but I don't know how. God opened up the door again. I asked the father, I said, you do this every day. Is there anything I can do to help you? He said, actually, my shoulders hurt me. He said, would you mind picking her up, putting her in the wheelchair, put her back in the vehicle? Why? Yeah, I can do that. Well, I did that probably 20 times over 2 days. Up the vehicle, back in here, and we go over here, and then we go to this, and we get this, put her in a utility vehicle, move around. I was able to physically touch what I was scared of. Because I was scared. I didn't really know how to handle something like that. Since then, it's made a big impact. And it's amazing how God can take something so simple as, you're scared of this, and I'm going to put you in that situation, and now you're going to overcome it. And that's what he did to me on that. So, Lord, he's done great things for me. Like I said, I don't want people to be like Barrett. I just want them to hear that he has done something for me. And I want to be an example for what Jesus, people can see Jesus in me and the things I do. Because I realize and come to the realization that just like Satan, I know there's a heaven and there's a hell. And the time on this earth sometimes seems long. Some days seem long. Some weeks seem long. Some months seems long. But it got on my mind coming down the road, eternity. And the best description I've ever heard of eternity was, imagine sending a dove out here to the coast of North Carolina. And they grab one grain of sand and they fly it all the way over to the Pacific Ocean and they drop it. And they fly back and they grab one grain of sand and they carry it all the way back. And they continue to do that until the entire East Coast no longer has a grain of sand anywhere. It's all on the West Coast and we still haven't began eternity yet. Start wrapping your mind around how long is eternity. In eternity, being able to walk the streets of gold and worship by Jesus, or spending eternity in damnation and hell. I know where I want to be, and I hope that y'all get that opportunity. If you're not there, that you can do it. Like I said, I look back. I wasn't able to be here in February, and God had a reason. I don't know what it was, but I can tell you one other story. At the end of January, my father passed away, which had been right after that. And I'll stand before you and tell you today, as a son, I cannot tell you for sure if my father was saved or not when he passed. I do not know 100%. And the next story I'll tell you is in my heart, and I'm not going to tell you that you have to believe it, or if it happens to you, what you're going to do with it. But about a week prior to his death, in the middle of the night, I had the most vivid dream that I can still clearly define and see. And I've told it to several people now. In my dream, my father and I were standing face to face, outdoors somewhere. And he had just been put into a facility because his mind had gone bad. And he looked at me and he said, "I thank you for me being in that facility, because now I know my sins are covered by the blood of Jesus." That was a dream I had. I'm not going to tell y'all what to do with that dream or not what to do with that dream, but I'm going to tell you, give me the peace that I need, that I'm at peace with my father's death. I still can't tell you 100% where he was at, but I can tell you that I have peace with it. I'm not going to touch dreams today and visions, but I'm just going to tell you that's where it's at with me. God put something on me that gave me the most peace of mind that I've ever had. I appreciate y'all letting me be here, let me talk. I know that you hear people, you know, like I said, some people don't want to go to church for this reason or that reason. And I hope that this is not a perfect church at Barbage Grove, because if it is, I just ruined it when I walked in the door, because I'm not a perfect individual. I still sin. I still have problems in life. But I have a Jesus that covered my sins with his blood. And I'm not a pastor, and I don't have a four-point sermon or a three-point sermon, but I'm going to leave you with 4 points anyway. It's not about me. Still not perfect. I don't understand everything. But number four, I do know I'm a child of God. And that's all I need to know. Thank you for letting me see.
Thank you, Brother Barrett, for sharing your testimony with us. And I know that we've all been blessed. What's your testimony? Each one of us has a testimony. Be different from his. But somebody needs to hear your testimony. This week I've been thinking about being a child. And every Wednesday night, walking over to West Albemarle Baptist Church for prayer meeting. Now, one of the first things we do is we'd count off. Everybody under 25 stand up, and then everybody over 25. And we always had a contest to see who had the biggest group there. But the important thing I remember is the various people that would stand up Wednesday night after Wednesday night and give a testimony of what God had done in their life. Might not be a long one, but how blessed I was as a kid to hear men and women share what Jesus had done for them and was doing in their lives. And you have a testimony. Share it with somebody. Somebody needs to hear about the reality of Jesus from you. And you can change or be an agent of change in their life. You can be a blessing to them. And you know, if there's anybody here that doesn't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, would you please just come at the end of the service and talk with me? We'll help you to get into the family of God. And if you know somebody that's not ready for heaven, share Jesus with them this week. Thank you again, brother, for coming and sharing. Thank you, Jeff and Gary and all who had a part in the service today. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the testimony we've heard. We thank you for the way you've worked in Brother Barrett's life. But we also thank you for the way that you've worked in each of our lives differently. But you've worked out circumstances that have been a blessing. And Father, open our eyes to people that need to hear from us what you've done for us. May Jesus live so big in us that everybody we encounter will know that we're a child of God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you and give you peace even this day. In Jesus' name, amen.